All right, Job 5 and verse 8, and then I'm going to skip down to verse 19. The Bible says, I would seek unto God. I believe this is Eliphaz advising Job here. Said, I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause. Then in verse 19, it said, he shall deliver thee in 6 troubles. Yea, in 7, there shall no evil touch thee. In famine, he shall redeem thee from death, and in war from the power of the sword. Thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue. Neither shalt thou be afraid of the destruction of destruction when it comes. It said, at destruction and famine thou shalt laugh. Neither shalt thou be afraid of the beast of the earth. For thou shalt be in league with the stones of the field, and the beast of the field shall be at peace with thee. And thou shalt know that thy tabernacle shall be in peace. And thou shalt visit thy habitation and shalt not sin. Thou shalt know also that thy seed shall be great, and thine offspring as the grass of the earth. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in his season. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, let us remember, Lord, that all things consist by you, Lord. And let us give you glory for all things, Lord, knowing that you're in charge. And this country, this world is going through a little amazement, Lord, at this virus that's going around. But we know, Lord, that you're in charge. You look after your people, Lord, and we pray that you would do that. We pray that whatever happens with this, it would all work to your glory, Father, that you would be glorified through it all. Help us to bring glory to your precious name. And it's in that name of Jesus that we pray tonight. Amen. So here you got Eliphaz advising Job, and even though Job called his friends miserable comforters, and also referred to them as physicians of no value, we can still see the truth here in God's word as Eliphaz is advising Job. And I guess the question for us, do we do this? Do we commit our cause unto God? Do we do that? That was good advice Eliphaz gave Job. Or do we? Are we like most of the world that consider God a court of last appeal? It's after everything else. It's only after we've tried everything else that we go to God most of the time. Most of the world. After the doctors, after the lawyers, after the psychologists, and after the courts, and after all the social agencies, and after referring to all the latest advances in human wisdom, seems like it's only then that we want to turn to God. Our spare tire, our use only in the case of emergency. And like I say, God will take something just a few nanometers in size and put the whole world in an uproar. Just one little thing. Where's that passage? Why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. It says God will sit in heaven. God will just laugh. And he puts everything in derision. And what is the verse? Where's the scribe? Where's the Pharisee? Where's the disputer of this world? Where's all that? Where's all the wise men now? Where's the wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the disputer of this world? What are they going to do? Nobody knows what to do. Just got them in derision. But we know that God's in charge. All things are under his hand, his control. And we never want to give God the credit for being God and give him acquiescing, I guess, is that the right word, to his authority, his sovereignty in all things in this world. Remember those Jews in the Old Testament? They killed all the prophets. Boy, they didn't want to hear anything about the true God, the living God. Matthew 23:37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings. And you would not. None of us know what God's doing with this thing. We don't know, but it'd be nice if it caused a lot of carnal Christians to repent and come back to the things of God the way God wants them to be. It'd be nice if the lost world would look to God for the answers and find salvation through a Savior that loved them enough to die for. That'd be a couple ways God would really be glorified if that happened. But that's not going to be promoted. It's probably not going to even be promoted in the churches around this country. But I think many of us in the world today, they're still stoning the prophets, so to speak, by not trusting in the promises to take care of us that God promises us. As a father with his children, God pities it. As a father pitieth his son, that's how God looks after us. He knoweth our frame and remembers that we're dust. But in Luke 12:24, the Lord said, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? God still promises to take care of his people. And Matthew 7:11, it says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask you? This whole thing that's going on, we don't need to panic about it. We need to be smart about it. Do what they tell us to do and give it to God. Give it to our Heavenly Father. Numbers 23:19, the Bible says God is not a man that he should lie. He tells us he'll take care of us. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. We belong to God. What God owns, he provides for. Every need that a man has God pre-supplied. There's a message where God, before he ever created a fish, you know what he created? The water, the seas to sustain that fish. Before he ever created a bird, he created the firmament to sustain that bird. Before he ever created a woman, I won't go there. Let me move on here. Most of you, about all of you, missed that one, but... He shall deliver thee in six troubles, it says. Yea, in seven there shall no evil touch thee. In famine he shall redeem thee from death, and in war from the power of the sword. A lot of you, if you've lived very long, you've been through some tough times already. I'd say a lot of this crowd has been through some tough times. Joyce and I have been through some tough times. Not very little money to get by with. $10 would have just blessed us like nothing you could ever thought of back in the day. Very little food. God sustained us. And I worked. I was willing to work. But we've been through some rough times. Some of you folks been through some rough times. I've told this before. Joyce and I lived without electricity. And without running water when we were first married. Figure that one out. I had to pack water. I had to pack water from a well outside of a cabin, log cabin we lived in. I had one of those with the pump handles. Had to pump that water and carry it into the cabin. Had to constantly cut wood to heat the place for the fireplace that was in there. Anybody ever cooked on a wood cook stove? I have. I won't say that Joyce had. I think I did most of it. I better be quiet. But I know I have, and I bet you anything Rachel has. Little inside thing there between me and Rachel. my grandma. My brother Aubrey did a song we recorded called Shaking the Great. And a country boy will understand this. Said, get up, boys, it's getting late. I can hear mama shaking the grate. Because that's where you'd wake up by that grate shaking and that old wood stove and getting those coals hot early in the morning. And usually those women, my grandma would get up before daylight to get that fire going, to have it hot enough by breakfast time to bake biscuits and make breakfast. Now, Floyd may be the only one in here knows what I'm talking about. Amen. In fact, my grandma, Hulda was her name, H-U-L-D-E, Hulda, D-A, H-U-L-D-H-A maybe. I don't know. But anyway, called her Hulda. And in the 50s, after years and years of cooking on a wood stove, all my aunts and uncles, all her kids went together and bought her an electric stove. And it's right on the corner down from where I live now. They lived on the corner. And they said that my grandma would get up before daylight every morning when she got that new electric stove and she'd turn all the burners on. She couldn't get out of that habit. She couldn't understand how it could heat up that quick. Get up before daylight and turn all those burners on. Tough times. My times, Joyce and I had, they seemed tough. But folks have gone through tougher times than we did. By today's standards, it would have been tough living without electricity, having to pack water, as we used to say. Down the hill, they'd say tote water. Hudson Taylor, great missionary, Burma and China. He was struggling to get by, just had nothing. His wife wrote him and asked what he had to survive on, what he was trusting to survive on, and he wrote her back that he had 25 cents in all the promises of God. My. Psalms 33 and verse 18 says, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. He shall deliver thee in six troubles, yea, in seven there shall no evil touch thee. Thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue, neither shalt thou be afraid when destruction cometh. Wow, wouldn't that be something, to be hid from the scourge of the tongue? Anybody ever been a victim of that? Somebody talking about you? Saying some stuff about you and just not so. There's a verse that talks about evil surmisings, and the Christians are as bad as anyone else for that. They'll hear something, they'll add to it, and they'll surmise the worst. They'll think, well, if I was betting, I'd say this and that was going on. Maybe, maybe not. Just like Job's buddies, they thought they knew what was going on with Job, but they were all wrong. But it says, God will deliver you from the scourge of the tongue. Man, that's a good promise. That's a wonderful promise. David knew where to go for help. Psalms 120 and verse 2, David said, deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. Psalms 31:20 said, thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. That's just one of the promises that God makes a child of God. You commit your cause unto God, he says he'll do that for you. Psalms 31:19, oh, how great is thy goodness which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. You're going to go through some times. The world now is going through some rough times. Can you imagine some of those folks in Scripture, the things they'd gone, all the things Moses went through? How about Joseph? All the craziness that Joseph had to endure, was rejected by his family. Can you imagine all your brothers rejecting you, your family members, your siblings? rejecting you? That'd be very difficult. And I wonder what was going through his mind as he was being carried away by the Ishmaelites. What an awful thing to have to endure as a human being. In Genesis 39:2, it says, "And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian." What happened? Joseph committed his cause unto God. That's what he did. "I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause." Of course, I remember when I wrote this message, I used an illustration. You know, Eliphaz was telling Job something, obviously, that Job already knew. Ever have somebody do that to you? They'll tell you something you already knew. Back when I wrote this 20-something years ago, Brother Phil, I used a story of Tony and Harry Gabbard. Tony was working on our bus, our big tour bus, and he was packing a wheel bearing on that bus. And his brother Harry walks by and says, "Tony, make sure you put plenty of grease into that bearing." And Tony said, "No, I was going to leave it bone dry." Anybody, have anybody tell you something you already knew? Phil be playing something, and I'd turn around and say, "Phil, now you need to do this on the piano." You know. See? That's Eliphaz with Job. Job knew that. "I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause." That's what God wants us to do. He has to remind us sometimes that he's in charge and that he's our God, and that we go to him first, we trust in him first. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." "He shall deliver thee in 6 troubles, and 7 there shall no evil touch thee. At destruction and famine thou shalt laugh, neither shalt thou be afraid of the beast of the earth." Have we done that? It'd be a good time to do that. If you're anxious over this thing that's going on with the virus. You know, I think it's a serious thing, but I think the media is hyping it, turning it into a political position. The worse that they can make it, then the more they can blame the president. I mean, that's everything. To some of that crowd is for that purpose. I mean, it's what they live for. But it's a serious thing. And I think our nation is taking it seriously. And you and I should take it seriously. But we know that God is in control. And we seek unto God and commit our cause unto the God who loves us and cares for us, our Heavenly Father. Romans 8:35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword?" What's going to separate us from the love of God? "At destruction and famine thou shalt laugh." That's what the scripture says. "Neither shalt thou be afraid of the beasts of the earth." My, my. Can you imagine Daniel in the lion's den? See, God made Daniel to be at league with a stone to the field. They paid no more attention to Daniel than if he was a rock laying over there on the ground. Isn't that wild? There's a thing in Scripture, the song Squire Parsons wrote, the song Beulah Land, Sweet Beulah Land. What a song. I first heard that, I about wrecked my car. It was so good. Sweet Beulah Land. And I looked up where that came from. It's Isaiah 61. I believe Isaiah 61, 1 in there somewhere. I forget the exact place, but it's Isaiah 61. And it talks about in that day, it's talking about the millennial reign of Christ in that day. Said there shall be a marriage of the land, where everything is kind of like at peace with each other. And said, "And thy land shall be called Beulah. Beulah land, sweet the land. That's what's going on with Daniel. I mean, those lions, they were just right at home with Daniel. God says that you'll be at peace. The animals won't bother you. God will deliver you from that. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said to Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. Maybe your belief is being tested a little bit. Maybe God's just sending a little pop quiz out to the church and to the whole world. Do you believe in him? Are you going to trust in him? Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Maybe that night God told Daniel what he told Job. At destruction and famine thou shalt laugh. Neither shalt thou be afraid of the beast of the earth, for thou shalt be in league with the stones of the field, and the beast of the field shall be at peace with thee. How about Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego? Remember that story? Threatened with what appeared to be certain death. Man, they were up against it. No way out. And they trusted in God in defiance of the king. Daniel 3:20, and he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats and their hosen and their hats and their other garments and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. My. If you got a new Bible version, they change that around. It's like one of the gods. They got to take a slap at Jesus Christ. Verse 27, and the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed. Neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Hey, if you got a fire to go through, guess who's going to be in that fire with you? But you got to believe. You got to commit your works unto the Lord. I would seek unto God, and unto God where I commit my cause. You can grieve and worry and stress out over whatever you want to. But God says, I've got this. He's my God. He's in charge. God's allowed to do with me whatever he wants to do. You know why? Because I'm bought with a price. I belong to God. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. I belong to God. You belong to God. He can do with you whatever he wants to. When I got my cancer, first of all, I finally came to the conclusion. I said, God, I'm okay with it. Whatever you decide to do, I belong to you. This body belongs to you. So just, you know, I'm okay, God, if you just glorify yourself and whatever you're going to do, I'm okay with it. Now that, it wasn't an overnight thing to come to. That took some time alone between me and the Lord to come to that position. I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause. He shall deliver thee in six troubles, yea, in seven there shall no evil touch thee. And thou shalt know that thy tabernacle shall be in peace. And thou shalt visit thy habitation and shalt not sin. Thou shalt know also that thy seed shall be great, and thine offspring as the grass of the earth. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in his season. Have you committed your cause unto God? First thing, first cause a man has to commit to God is his soul, the redemption of his soul. And God made a provision for that through the blood atonement of his Son, Jesus Christ. The first cause every human being needs to commit to God is the cause of the salvation of his own soul. 2 Samuel 2:23, the God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. Bible says, to as many as received him, but them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Jeremiah 5:34, their Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. He shall truly plead their cause, that he may give rest to the land and disquiet the inhabitants of Babylon. God may be disquieting the inhabitants of Babylon. Have you asked the Lord to plead your cause? What he says we need to do. Job 23:4, I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. Paul said this, he said he committed his cause to the Lord. Paul said, I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Peter committed his cause. He said, surely I must put off this my tabernacle, this body of flesh, to an inheritance undefiled and incorruptible and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven. He committed his cause unto God. Have you done that? Proverbs 23:11, for their Redeemer is mighty, and he shall plead their cause with thee. Psalms 35:1, plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Psalms 9:4, for thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sattest in the throne, judging right. Job said, behold, now I have ordered my cause. I know that I shall be justified. Psalms 35:23. Stir up thyself and awake to my judgment, even unto my cause, my God and my Lord. Isaiah 41:21 said, produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, saith the King of Jacob. 1 Kings 8:35, I'm almost in here. Plead my cause and deliver me. Quicken me according to thy word. 1 Kings 8:45, then hear thou in heaven their prayer and their supplication and maintain their cause. Two more verses. Isaiah 25:4, for thou hast been a strength to the poor and a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. Psalms 57:1, be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. That's what we need to do as a church. We need to make the Lord our refuge until these calamities be overpast. Psalm 57, one of my favorite verses in all the scriptures, the next verse there in Psalms. Psalms 57:2, David said, I will cry unto God Most High, I will cry unto God Most High, unto God who performeth all things for me. God will take your cause and he'll take care of you. He'll take care of your family. Just got to commit it to him and know that his judgment is just. He loves his people. He remembers our frame, remembers that knoweth our frame, remembers that we're dust. And the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth that he might show himself strong in the behalf of them whose hearts are perfect toward him. That's what we do as a church. We're God's people. We should act like God's people. Some of us may need to repent of some of our wickedness and carnalness and come back to the cross and say, God, I've been a mess. And I don't want to be in that crowd that has judgment coming to me, Lord, because Jesus Christ already took my judgment for me. I plead that blood tonight, Lord. I repent of any wrongs that I might have offended thy holy name by, Lord. Be with me. Watch over my house. Watch over my children. And I'll thank you, Lord, and praise you and give you glory and honor for all you're going to do. In Jesus' name. I'm done. Everyone stand up. I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. God is going to take care of his people. He says, only believe. Only believe. All things are possible with God. Only believe. As we sing.